SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty present the Underdog Podcast.
And welcome back to the Underdog Dynasty Podcast AAC edition. My name is Dan Morrison. That's Emily Van Buskirk. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Probably not as good as you, given that Red Sox win last night.
Oh, yeah. It was nice. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
You know. It seems like you already forgot about it. What?
No. How would I forget about it?
Yeah. I don't know. I think I caught you by surprise there, but I didn't watch the game. But my friend that works for the Yankees said that it was just a bloodbath. So
yeah, got Gerrit Cole out after six outs, which was nice. $37 million, yeah. Got six outs on a whole postseason. It was money well spent, yeah. Yankees.
Not productive. Not that's not a good return for the Yankees.
Yeah. Beautiful Evaldi. You know, couldn't touch him. But Cora pulled him too quick, but that's what we're all here for, is my thoughts on baseball management.
Well, I'm excited for you, so congratulations.
I am. Don't let Eric hear this, but I am nervous about the Rays.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay. Is that Eric, the next opponent?
Yeah. The winner they get to go play the Rays in, you know, the worst ballpark in the country, which is the Trop. You know.
I've never been, but
it's disgusting. It's absolutely awful.
Wait, why?
Don't let Eric change your opinion, because it's just like, first off, it's a dome baseball stadium, which is gross to begin with, but just these catwalks that has to have its own rules because it's constructed so weird. The back walls are the same color as a baseball for some reason. Like, it's just terrible.
That is weird.
Yeah, they're trying to replace it, but you know, no one in Tampa likes their baseball team, so move them out. No one wants
Tampa's a football town now.
It's a football town now. I was going to say something rude about Tampa, but no.
Yeah, no. All right. We're going to move on. I just wanted to give you a congratulations because I know you were worried about that. We had talked about it, but anyways.
I am happy with that. Yes.
I'm glad.
We've only got five games to preview today though.
Yeah. Quick preview.
Yeah, no, it should be nice and easy. We do have a Thursday game, 7:30, nice up against a pretty good NFL game Thursday night, actually. Houston at Tulane.
Great. So everyone's going to be watching the NFL. Awesome.
Yeah, I think the Rams are playing, if I'm not mistaken.
Ooh, well, I get that.
Yeah, it's what it is.
I get that. I do like the Rams. That's fun. All right. Well, we're going to be watching Houston at Tulane, so.
Exactly.
What are you looking for in this game?
You know, I'm looking for Tulane to actually use that home field advantage this time and actually build on that and hopefully have a pretty good crowd going. It's been a really weird year for them. I want to see whether or not Houston can go in and make it a tough road environment for them, because, you know, Tulsa last week was not a tough road environment, unfortunately. I was thinking it was going to be a lot tougher than it was. I'm hoping Tulane can put up something there, but Tulane's also had a lot of struggles, especially, we've talked a lot about Michael Pratt. He, I do believe, has all the potential in the world, but the turnovers are really, really adding up quickly this season.
I didn't realize that they're still in search of their first FBS win, because honestly, I'm stuck on the Oklahoma game, obviously, living in the past.
And you were
I didn't realize that they've only... I wasn't at that game. And to me, that game still isn't over, because in my mind, Michael Pratt got that first down and ended up going on, but whatever. I didn't realize that their only win routing is over Morgan State.
Yeah.
Not great.
It was a tough out of conference schedule in their defense. Yeah. Oklahoma and Ole Miss were always probably losses. They played Oklahoma a lot tougher than anyone expected, but I also don't think that coming into the year, anyone predicted that would be a W for Tulane. UAB is I didn't say it. You know.
Yeah.
UAB is a really good
UAB should have been
school too. They should have beaten them. I think they are the more talented team, but UAB is probably one of, you know, I'm not going to say probably going to win because UTSA exists this year, but they're going to be one of the two or three best teams in Conference USA most years. You know, and I don't feel like that's an embarrassing loss. And then I think it was unfortunate that they had to go to ECU, who is, I think, clearly a riser in the conference right now.
Yeah.
And, I think it's just a really tough break to the schedule, add in all the hurricane situation that they dealt with. And it's been a mess trying to get any form of consistency and growth out of that team this year. And I don't necessarily think you can blame anything for it other than circumstances, you know, but that, I know that doesn't feel good if you're a Tulane fan that, hey, circumstances stink. That's why your record's 1-4, you know,
luckily for them, this game is pretty straightforward. It's like Houston, there's a formula for how to stop them. And it's pretty clear what it is. Anytime that you're going to put a lot of pressure on Toon, he's going to throw interceptions. Yeah. As long as you can shut down the run that gives him the support he needs, you're going to be able to stop him. So I don't know that they can do those things to the full of their ability, but they are going to try.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely need a better performance out of your defense, especially the rush defense, if you're Tulane, because, you know, last week we saw what ECU did to them, and that was not pretty. If you're, you know, you need to make sure that Toon's throwing the ball. And like you said, you need to put him under pressure because he himself is susceptible to mistakes. It's not like he's a perfect college quarterback or anything like that, although he has looked a lot better. We always talk about what's the competition look like at Houston this year. And yeah, I mean, it's tricky. I think that I'm inclined to feel like, oh, Tulane at home is a tough place to go in. I remember the Thursday night game from a couple years ago, and I still have not trusted Houston under Dana, but I do think I have to go Houston for this game. I think it's a safe pick.
I have to pick Tulane. I have made a commitment at the beginning of the season that I'm going to just pick Tulane every week.
Yeah, it seems that way.
So here we go. We're at odds again. Yeah. This will be the decider.
Riding the green wave.
Riding the green wave out. Okay. One day they're going to do it for me. I don't know if it'll be Thursday,
They'll definitely get a couple wins this year. It's a tough start to the season for them. We have a Friday game as well at 7:00. Temple at Cincinnati.
Do you feel like this could be a trap game?
It could definitely be a letdown game if you're Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. You know, you're coming off in a huge emotional high with the win over Notre Dame. And Temple is, I think, a team that is very, very easy to overlook this year for one reason or the other. But they did just beat a Memphis team that's at least got a very good offense. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's not like the Owls are incapable of winning these games. It's a short week, so you have less time to prepare. You're a little bit out of sync, especially if you have a little bit of a hangover getting back into it from the Notre Dame game. You know, and the Cincinnati offense has not been great this year. I think that, you know, their defense has covered up a lot of inconsistencies on the offense. It took them a while to get going against Indiana. They really only had two proper scoring drives against Notre Dame. Those are good, good defenses, but still, you know, they only had 7 first half points against who was the FCS team they played, whoever that FCS team was. They only had 7 first half points. You can't.
Or Cincinnati.
Yeah. Cincinnati did.
Murray State.
Yeah. Murray State. I was going to say Morgan State, but I know that was just because we had talked about them with Tulane and I knew I was wrong.
They started off with Miami, Ohio, and then they played
Miami, Ohio games are rivalry games. So Miami, Ohio is not particularly good, but rivalry games are different. But the Murray State game was a very slow starting game for Cincinnati that I think there's reason to be a little cautious about. Why is the offense kind of taking a little while to kick into gear in these games? So I think that's a concern if you're Cincinnati. It's something you want to work on. Are just significantly more talented top to bottom than Temple right now. Temple's got so many underclassmen playing significant time. And Cincinnati is such a well-developed team that I don't think it should, you know, work out that way, but I can see where there's a chance.
Yeah. You know what? This to me, it's like in my heart, I'm like, yeah, Cincinnati, because I saw them play last week and obviously I know how good they are. Desmond Ritter's the truth. Okay. But this game and its intricacies has the making of a chaos game because, for the reasons you said, you have this big win over Notre Dame, and you know they celebrated hard after that. Like, that's just, they did. And they were celebrating in the game. So they go into Temple, who, yes, you have to pay attention to their win last week, but overall, not a huge threat on their radar. And I know every team says, well, the next game's the most important. Mm-hmm. Every coach says that, but I don't know, man. This game has the makings of a crazy Temple, like all of a sudden shocking the world. And there's a lot of something I find interesting is there's a lot of high school rivalry matchups within the game. So there's several players, including Dwan Mathis, Mariano Valenti, and MJ Griffin. They all went to high schools in Detroit and played against Ahmad Gardner and a couple other Julian Barnett, Devontae Dobbs, a couple other players. So there's going to be some chippiness in this game.
Yeah, these really are the two last Northern teams in the conference at all. You know what I mean? And they do tend to, like, especially like sharing Pennsylvania as like a recruiting ground. You mentioned the Detroit connection there. That's definitely something that'll be interesting to watch. I do think Temple, if they have any hope, needs to stay incredibly aggressive on offense and force the issue. But realistically, no, I don't think that they're going to beat Cincinnati. I think there's,
I really want to,
I think there's, I know you do, but I think, I think an upset's reasonable in terms of if it were to happen. You can see like the factors that lead to it. I just don't think when you look at the two teams on paper, it will happen. I think Cincinnati is too well coached to let those external factors bother them too much. I think they're too well coached to overlook it. I think that they're too talented to like get caught and surprised by Temple the way Memphis was. I don't think their defense is going to give up 30 plus points. You know what I mean?
I think I'm excited for the Dewan Mathis, Ahmad Gardner matchup, honestly. And then I also think that the environment is not going to be one they're used to because it's not going to be as many people and as loud.
No, I mean, it's at Cincinnati, so they're going to be.
Oh, it's at Cincinnati. I thought it was at Temple. No, oh, yeah, it's at Cincinnati. It's see, night. Then. Yeah, then that one, that's kind of like, okay, maybe that's the coffin, nail in the coffin, is it's at home. They're not going to lose at home.
No, so. I don't think so.
All right, well, then we'll go Cincy. I'll go
Cincy. All right, don't sound so disappointed about picking.
I really wanted, if that was a Temple, I was going to pick Temple, but I just can't do it. But I just want to go on record saying I still think they're going to win. I can't pick them because I can't fall any more behind in our picks.
Yeah, we'll but touch on that at the end because it's.
I think Temple's going to win.
All right. Sounds
great.
I mean, sounds like you have, you know, you got one foot in the door and one foot out there, but it's okay.
We I'm only covering have, all my bases.
Yeah, we only have three Saturday games to go through. Yeah. It's pretty good. Pretty short week of games for the American. At 3:30 on Saturday, SMU is at Navy. Any chance Navy does to SMU what they just did to UCF?
I don't know. I feel like anything is possible now in this conference, but I have to believe the way SMU has been playing offensively is going to be too much for Navy's defense. Mm-hmm. Even if Navy did manage to come up with some points, there's no way they stop that potent offense, right?
No, they're, yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the crux of it is how explosive is SMU versus how many turnovers can Navy force?
Right.
Because we've talked about, again, Mordecai's another guy who, for all his talent, he's liable to throw three interceptions a game. He's done it a couple times now. You know?
He's got eight so far this season, which is
exactly in too many. That's in five games. That's a lot, you know?
A lot.
Especially for a guy who's considered one of the top probably three quarterbacks in the conference. He's.
But I feel like he goes in knowing that he's going to do that because then offsets it.
Yeah. Well, it's like what Brett Favre used to do, where he didn't mind throwing a couple bad interceptions because a couple times it's going to be a remarkable play. And just there's the kind of give and take with that. If Navy can force enough interceptions and control the clock and really tire out that SMU defense the way they did to UCF, you know, if their special teams comes up with a couple plays, I think it's the same formula to beating SMU as beating UCF right now for Navy. Make sure that defense is on the field almost the entire game, rather than letting the offense out there force a couple turnovers. And then it's at Navy, and you know, that Navy crowd, it's, you know, it's not the biggest crowd in the conference or in the country, but it is an intensely, you know, loud crowd at times. It's a very special crowd. It's a very unique place that can kind of throw you off a little bit as a visitor. You know, I think there's a good chance with Lavate now in that quarterback, he seemed to be running the offense a lot better than, you know, anyone else has at Navy in recent, you know, basically since, Malcolm Perry graduated. You know, if he can continue to run it effectively and they had, you know, 3-4 guys over, you know, 50 yards, which they did against UCF, why not Navy upset them? You know, I definitely see the path where Navy wins this game and Navy's back on track. With that being said, I'm choosing SMU because I do think their offense is going to put up like 40 points in this game. And that's just too much for the triple option to overcome.
Yeah, I'm going SMU as well because I just it doesn't matter how many mistakes you make or how many errors there are, they're still going to put up too many points. It's just they're going to overcome it that way. So
yeah, exactly. They're kind of designed is to overcome those issues. And I definitely see the path to how Navy wins this game. I just don't think it happens.
Right. I mean, I think, like you said, there's a chance, but realistically, no, I don't. Mm-hmm. SMU's too good and they're rolling too high and and the defense won't matter. So yeah, we are in agreement there. It's a pretty straightforward game, I feel like.
We'll absolutely. Our 6 o'clock game is ECU at UCF. And I think I'm going to throw a must win label on it for UCF. I think you cannot afford to lose this game. If you're,
oh boy.
Just hear me out. Because next week, Cincinnati, if you're UCF, you cannot start 0-3 in conference.
Right.
Play.
That's fair.
At that point, they'd be 2-4, 0-3 in conference play, and the season's lost at that point, more or less.
Yeah.
You know, UCF has a really terrible string of injuries going on right now. Their team is largely decimated. I, like 20 minutes before we hopped on to record this, was on Twitter. I saw Eric Gilliard, the starting middle linebacker who led the team in tackles last season, his second team tackles this year. So now he's transferring out. He's taking a redshirt with the first four games, and he's leaving the program. So that's another major loss to the defense. You know,
not great.
No, and I'm not sure the reason he decided. If it's just he doesn't, you know, it's not fair to speculate on transfers is always my thing because we don't know. But he's made the decision he wants to play his last year somewhere else. So he's transferring now.
And that, I mean, and while we don't speculate, I mean, the fact is he's leaving. So there is a reason, whether it's personal or program related, we don't know.
It's not playing time. But, you know, I mean, there's a reason. The safe guess in the situation is, you know, he gave the new staff a chance and he just doesn't see eye to eye with them on something or the other. But it's definitely not playing time thing because he is starting middle linebacker.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting.
It's different. You know, it's definitely a little strange, but, you know, best of luck to him, but it puts UCF in a really tough spot because they've already, like I said, been hit really hard with injuries and things like that this year.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you've got ECU who absolutely looks world
looking hot perfect. Right now. Holton Ahlers, your boy.
We're seeing what is commonly called proof of concept with that program right now. It's finally starting to work out in a good way for them. And I think it's awesome. That is, it just will be very interesting to see how well that travels on the road now. You know what I mean?
Right. They play well in front of their home fans, and that's part of the charm. UCF, but it's hard to play at UCF.
Yeah, UCF almost never loses at home. You know, ECU, they had to come from behind win at Marshall this year, but other than that, they really haven't had to leave. You know, they had a neutral site game against App State, and and other than
they've
been at home, they've been at home the whole time otherwise. You know, so like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Can they travel down to Orlando, a place where they, you know, have not had any recent success? Is there, you know, kind of a monkey on your back if you're ECU to get past UCF? Because it's not the same UCF it was in 17-18, but but helmets still matter in your perception of teams a lot of times, especially when you're ECU and you're like, this is a team we have not beaten them. You know, for whatever reason, Tulsa, no matter how bad they are, UCF goes in there and just feels like it's an insurmountable game at times. You know what I mean? Sometimes a different logo or a different like place to play just does that to you. And I think ECU has that trouble with UCF going back like pretty much the whole time they've both been in the American together, like the exception of 2015 when UCF was abysmal. So we'll see. I mean, the game itself.
Both teams are allowing 30 plus points. So it's going to be
on the defense. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be an offensive shootout and really who can get that last score, you know? So I think it's going to be a really fun, close down to the wire game. I'm excited for this one. Like from a football perspective.
I agree with that completely. It's going to be a really close thing. I'm going to be all,
you're going to be stressing.
And the thing is, I do really like ECU as a program. I do want them to be good. Just not this week.
Just not against UCF. Yeah, and, you know, I got you.
I think I am going to take UCF because one, I'll admit to being a little bit biased here, people. It's okay.
That's fair.
Do think home field advantage is a huge deal in this game.
It is a big deal for them, especially the bounce house. My question is to you, do you think that the student body shows out and the fans show out given the stumbles as of late, do you think it'll still be a good environment?
It won't be a sellout, but it'll still be a very good environment.
That was what I was curious. Cause I didn't know if there may be a little bit of a fair weather fan base in the sense that enjoy the success, but maybe don't show up in
the tricky thing with UCF is it's a younger fan base for the most part.
Right.
You know, a lot of the student body did grow up as a Florida Gator fan or as a Florida State fan, because that's just, you know, that's what their families have always been. They ended up at UCF either for a specific program or maybe they didn't get into UF because it is a little bit of a better school in terms of, like, you know, it's a harder school to get into, you know?
Right.
So maybe you end up at UCF for one reason or the other. Maybe you're just from Orlando and don't want to go up to Tallahassee for school because that's too far from home for you. You know, there's tons of different reasons why you end up there.
Yeah.
But, you know, up until, and I was at UCF in 2015, if anyone's even mildly interested in that, at that time, it was still like very much like, oh, the football team was terrible, so that didn't help. But like, you were a UCF fan, but you also had another thing that you rooted for a lot of the time. You know what I mean? I think in recent years it's changed a little bit, but a lot of people college age are still, you know, if you're college age, you were like 5, 6, 7 years old for Tebow. You were like in junior high-ish around for like Jameis Winston, Florida State. You know what I mean? So I think you're still a lot of that carryover where, you know, you root for UCF, and some people are much more diehard students now. Also, it's like 70,000 students. So like, this is very blanket for that big of a, you know, student body. But you know, you often will have people who root for two teams, and UCF is one of them. So it is easy enough to then be like, eh, I'd rather stay in and watch the other game, or like have them going on two different screens than go to this one if it's going to be a mid.
Yeah. So although it helps them. It's a night game, right?
Probably.
Because I feel like they like to come out to night games.
Yeah, it's a little bit. It's a good time for a game at 6 o'clock, I think. Also,
what's the color for the game? I forgot to check.
Oh, I have not even looked at what the uniform is. No, and the other thing that UCF has done very well, in all fairness to them, is they've really turned the city of Orlando into like, this is a UCF area, like kind of like building that fan base within that, you know, Orange Seminole County area, which is something that, you know, back in 2015 was not this way. So there is a lot more local interest outside the student body, but we'll see how it looks. I'm hoping that's going to be mostly full, but I also don't expect it to be a sellout.
Well, anyways, I think that's why I'm delaying. No, I'm not delaying. I was actually curious about whether or not, like, cause I don't know. I know that UCF is like a very passionate fan base, especially when their team's doing well. But that's why I was just curious. Like, I've never been to a game there where there hasn't been a lot of people, but I just wondered if, like, not having success and maybe having the injuries has, like, you know, had some people back off. That's all I was curious.
Yes and no. I mean, you also, if you look at the season ticket numbers, the season tickets are, I think, sold out this year. So that should still be a good crowd. Yeah, I think they sold out. Unless people just decide not to use the thing they paid for, which I don't think they will. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is what it is. You know, I'm always more concerned about, like, you know, the student section leaving at halftime for games than, you know, whether or not they show up.
Yeah. So they'll go out and then come back. That's like a thing.
Well, no, they'll just leave and not come back. That's the issue.
Oh, okay. Cause there's other things to do on a Saturday night in Orlando.
Exactly. And you know, the game's not exactly what you wanted it to be, or you just get bored, you know, head out.
I really wanted to find this, this fan guide. Cause one of the cool things about UCF is they put out this like graphic, and it tells you, and now of course I can't find it. It tells you the color that you're supposed to wear to each game to coordinate. And so I was curious, like, which game this was, you know, but for some reason it's.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the, like UCF equipment, like Twitter page, and they don't have like the uniform color listed.
They don't even have the uniform color out yet. Okay. It was supposed to be a little early, I guess.
I mean, it's Wednesday, so I don't know that's early necessarily.
Well, it was on the UCF website because I was going and doing my out of bounds preview, and I thought it was so neat that they like they laid it all out so that you knew exactly and what to wear. But anyways, either way, I'll figure it out later and find it out. I'm going to go ECU just to make things interesting for us.
You're trying to catch up. I get it.
I mean, if I just keep picking the same teams as you, it's never going to happen. So yes, I do think ECU has a good chance.
No, it's fair the way the two are playing. One last game for us to talk about real quick. It's Memphis at Tulsa. Now, if we were talking about Memphis at Tulsa before the Temple game, I would say, you know, of course, Memphis wins by 3 scores, but I'm so confused by Memphis in terms of what they are as a team, blowing, you know, 2 straight 3-score leads in games to a UTSA team that I respect and a Temple team that I have reservations about, you know. Tulsa, on the other hand, has done very little this season. They played close with Ohio State for like a half. They, you know, beat a bad Arkansas State team. I don't really know why I'd expect them to be able to do better than they did last week against Houston.
This is a game I probably won't watch.
Well, we'll see. It's on at 9 p.m., which is a little bit later.
Oh, it's a late game. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going to be up against, but it's like in that kind of like area where like you can get the second half kind of up against nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
I think when it comes down to it, Tulsa needs to find consistency on offense. And there's a good chance they can do that against Memphis, who their defense has gaps in it and is often left on the field way too long for them. They get, you know, you see it over the course of games, they kind of wear down a bit. If Tulsa can find a consistent offense in this game, get the running game going. I really think that's the key for them, is getting Prince going out of the backfield and just running into Memphis. Memphis has shown that they can break under a good running game.
Tulsa really favored in this game?
I have no idea. I don't check the
lines too often. I think they are.
Yeah. That would be shocking to me.
Tulsa is favored in this game by 3.5.
That's insane. I mean, they're the home team, which means they're basically, it's a 50-50 coin flip game according to Vegas, but that's weird.
That's really weird. It's just because they're home. I know.
Yeah, you get 3 points for being at home, and that doesn't make sense to me, to be honest, because
they've played the tougher schedule, but Memphis is clearly a better team.
Yeah, they've played the tougher schedule, but they haven't looked all that good doing it.
No.
It's trouble. You know?
Yeah. No. So I would take, if I was a betting person, which I'm not, I would take Memphis in the points.
Yeah. As long as Memphis doesn't go 3 and out too often and gets their defense off the field and keeps them rested in the second half, I don't think they'll have too much of an issue in this.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think it's going to be,
I just think that, the Memphis offense has too many weapons to, they'll score 30 points. It's just whether or not their defense can hold you down. I don't trust that Tulsa can score with them. You know,
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I trust Memphis more on offense than I trust Tulsa at all. So I like Seth Hennigan. It hasn't been easy for him.
He's a freshman.
But he is. And he's still throwing 10 touchdowns and only, I think, one interception. So if he's at least careful, you know, which we can't say about a lot of American quarterbacks. So I like that. And I think he has good support. Like you said, Rodriguez Clark rushing and Calvin Austin has been great in the receiving. So, and special teams.
I'd like to see the running game get going a little bit more. Because like I said before, those Memphis teams that were really good, like going to the Cotton Bowl and going to the conference championship game, they always had two or three running backs that could go for 100 yards in a game. And they often would all go for 100 yards in a game. It doesn't feel like they've got the same explosive running game. I think that's,
where's the Tony Pollards of the world?
Yeah, exactly. Where are those Daryl Henderson's kind of like
Daryl Henderson? Yes.
Nothing against Clark. You know, I think he's a good quality back, but he doesn't have that same explosiveness that those guys had. And the fact that they used to block out two or three is, I think, what made those Memphis teams really special. And, and they always had that ability to throw. They always had weapons on the outside, and they still do. But, if you could add that, the running game is something you need to focus on as an opposing defense, that's when that offense becomes elite rather than good. With that being said, I am taking
Who are you picking?
I'm picking Memphis. I don't see why Tulsa's favorite at all, to be honest.
Yeah, it's very weird.
They just lost by, it was 45-10,
Very, very strange. I'm picking Memphis, too, so we're on the same page there.
Yeah, quick record update on our picks. I went 3-3 last week. I'm doing it. It works out well for me. I went 3-3 last week. It was a bad 500 week for some of us. You went 2-4. Overall,
however bad it is for you, it'll always be worse for me. So don't worry about it.
Hey, you keep picking Tulane.
I have to. I made a commitment, and I'm going to see it through.
Hey. You keep picking Tulane.
I'm going to.
Overall in the year, I'm 40-14. You're 29-25.
All right.
I know. Also, our good friend UConn, they've got an important game this weekend at UMass, the former AAC school. I'm excited.
Nice.
I think I'm
going to. And you're going, right?
Yeah, I'm planning that. Just, it's not too far from where I'm at right now. So I am going to do that. It'll be a time. I don't know if it'll be a fun time, but it'll be a time.
Will you get to see some old friends or former classmates?
Oh God, why would I do that?
Okay. Never mind. All right.
No one who I went to school with still lives anywhere near UMass.
I don't know. Do people go back for games?
No one goes back to UMass games. Right. No, I've seen some friends, but
they're have all, fun then.
They're all out in the eastern part of the state. So
I just want to say that I looked up this UCF fan thing because it was going to drive me crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to post the graphic because it's hilarious, but the game against ECU is fan choice color.
Okay. So that means,
so we're going to get just a mishmash of whatever the fans feel like wearing. It's also family weekend.
Okay. So then there should be a decent crowd of this family.
There should be a good crowd. Yeah. You're going to get a lot of alumni, a lot of, you know, family members from students and players and whatever. Mm-hmm. So it should be pretty good.
Yeah. I'm concerned about the fan support there. I'm sure it'll be fine. Okay. It'll be a good environment. Anything else to add?
I am going to be heading to the miracle of all miracles. We ended up getting credentialed to Iowa for the Penn State game. Arguably the biggest game of the weekend, though game day decided.
I don't know if you've heard me. UMass UConn is going this weekend.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Second biggest game of the weekend. But I'm very excited. I've been wanting to go to Kinnick for a long time. One of the greatest traditions in college football is there. I'm actually doing a story, and this is fun. I reached out to Jared Goff, who went to high school with myself and Iowa's quarterback, Spencer Petras. We all went to Marin Catholic. We're all Wildcats. You know, go MC. So I did Wildcat hands. You can't see that though, but I'm going to talk to Jared before the game and after the game about what he thinks that his former high school, you know, teammate, not, they were never teammates, but you know what I mean? If he's keeping tabs on it, if it means a lot to have another Marin Catholic quarterback doing well at the collegiate level. So I'm excited to kind of catch up with my fellow Wildcats and see how that's going.
That's exciting.
Should be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a good time. Enjoy the corn. Enjoy.
I will.
You know,
we're going to stay in Davenport because we have friends in Quad Cities. I'm friends with the radio show out there. So they've been amazing. I'm actually going to go do radio with them in about 5 minutes. So shout out the Quad Cities guys. They're hooking us up with a hotel. No, you're right. I'm always like doing a million things, but we're going to fly into Chicago, drive out there, stay in Quad Cities, and we'll go to Iowa City for the game and experience some of that, but we will not be staying there. It is very hard to get in and out of Iowa City, just FYI.
Yeah, I can imagine. I've never actually been to Iowa because, you know, why would I? Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like it's tough to get in and out to all that stuff. Just the distance between it. Like,
and they're always small airports. They're small.
Well, I'm fine with small airports because, like I said, I grew up in Western Massachusetts, which means Bradley in Hartford is my main airport that I'll use to get in and out of home.
Is that a small airport?
It's tiny. Hartford's a tiny airport. Yeah, because everyone flies into Boston if they need like a big airport for New England, at least. You know, just it's two in between New York and Boston to be like decent sized. Yeah. Get you where you need to go.
Well, I'm just saying there's less flights. So we were like, we're just going to go into Chicago and do it that way to make sure. So.
Yeah, it makes sense. All right. Yeah,
excited.
All right. And anything else?
No, make sure you follow me on social media. Oh, yes. Beat you to it. I'm MLM, MLNEM, not Eminem. If you follow Eminem, you will not get any college football updates. So
I am at Dan_Morrison96.
Yeah, that's us. Follow us.
Yep.
Stay tuned.
Exactly. All right, and we're done.
We'll see you next time for the recap and see who's right. So we'll see
you. All right.